afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I wonder what that last boom, boom, boom was. But anyway, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Maybe I'm the only one that heard that. I'm sure Alfred did, too. I'm Melody Smith.
I heard nothing, Melody. Sergeant Schultz, I heard nothing.
Yes, yes, but you heard that I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you are Alfred Adest, and the listeners are listening to Financial Survival, and it is brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, and we are bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today is the first day of spring. Yay! Monday, March 20th, 2017. It's May. Ow.
It's May?
I mean, it's spring. Ow.
All right, I could go along with spring. I'm not going to argue about that, but I'm pretty sure it's not May. I'm not pretty sure March, April, May. In fact, May is probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 40 days away, something like that.
About it, Al, you know, that's, you know.
Well, I just didn't want to argue about it. I just clarify my position.
Yeah, well, yeah. Anyway, gold had a nice day today, so we're seeing still another rebound in gold. Seems like my throat's a little froggy today. What?
A little squeaky.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. Gold today was up $5.50 at $1,235. You have silver up 3 cents, $17.50. Platinum was up six at $974, and palladium was up five at $785. The USDX today was stronger 0.02 at 100.33. And crude oil was down 54 at 48.24. Didn't follow the paper markets today, just didn't have the opportunity to. So let's go ahead. I think that the Dow did manage to be up a few points today. There was a lot of proceedings going on today, so I'm sure there was a lot of focus on what is going on. The Dow was down 9 points at 20,905. The NASDAQ basically unchanged at 5901, with the S&P down four at 2373. 10-year yield 2.47%, down 0.3. Euro 107, still holding up 0.15. And European market and Asian markets are pretty much unchanged. And whatever happened since last week, you certainly have the fear and greed index moving down into the fear territory at 43. So that dropped quite a bit, which is always so surprising when you have the world finances is on fire. The Dow, consumer confidence, everything just seems to be just peachy king. But yet, there's a lot of fear in these markets. And could it be, you know, North Korea? Could it be Russia?
I think it's a lot of things. And I think there is, you know, you look for these articles to talk about on the program, and it's hard
news
to avoid finding articles that aren't predicting there's some sort of a crash is imminent, a significant decline in the stock market. People are anticipating that it's gone as high as it's going to go, and it's they're anticipating some sort of a correction. Or at least the pundits are anticipating some sort of correction. I'm inclined to agree with them.
Well, the thing of it is, if you turn to the news and you see, you know, it doesn't support, there is no news out there that supports the rise of the stock markets. The news doesn't support a good economy. None of the numbers that are released, oh, big deal, you have a decent jobs report a couple of weeks ago. You have interest rates rising, inflation is supposedly up at their, you know, at their feel-good level, but again, there's nothing that really supports a great economy. And someone sent me an article. I didn't have the opportunity to finish it. It's Joe. And I want to thank Joe for sending it to me. It was from the London Review of Books. And it was really a great article about the central banks and you know, how what is important to them and how they have truly set the mind focus, the psychology of monetary policy. It says, like, if I can recall, I just glance at it, and I want to read it a little more in depth. It's like 98% of monetary policy doesn't have anything to do about actual about actual events or actual change. It's all talk. It's all psychology. 98% of monetary policy is psychology. And very interesting. And I'd like to bring a little bit more of that to the program here in the, you know, next couple of weeks, because it really has a lot of interesting, you know, it has a lot of what we talk about here on the program about how we see some of the central banks and the projection, and pretty much the bottom line is they really do have to come up with a new system because the old one doesn't apply anymore. And they have spent so much of the future's economy.
Yeah.
There's nothing in the future. It's today.
That's and what debt is all about.
Yes, they're living in the future.
Yes.
And so
not just living in the future, they are predating on the future. All right? We are here. We're living here, but we as a people, as an economy, whatever, we are feeding off the future. We are equivalent to eating the seed corn. Farmers eating their seed corn because they're greedy or they're stupid or they're vulnerable. But what are you going to plant? What's going to plant? You know, the debt is evidence of an attack on the future.
Well, I mean, you know, the article was very good, and you know, it's. I don't know if I can somehow link it to our newsletter. I'll try to do that, but or maybe we'll just get portions of it over a period of time on what I think is very significant. But I do want to thank Joe for sending that, and he also sent me some other great ones, so didn't have a chance to get to yet. But German Chancellor, it's kind of like May. Angela Merkel and Japan's prime minister, they spoke up for free trade. There was a major technology fair yesterday, and they were making jabs, clearly, at the United States about the increasingly protectionist view of the new president. Both called for a free trade deal to be reached quickly between Japan and the European Union in comments made after the G20 finance ministers and central bankers dropped a long-standing mention of open trade in their final words after a two-day meeting in Germany. Neither leader named the U.S. government as they opened the fair in Hanover, but both used the opportunity to distance themselves from protectionist tendencies coming from the Trump administration. Merkel said, in times we have to argue about with many about free trade, open borders, and democratic values, it's a good sign that Japan and Germany no longer argue about this, but rather are seeking to shape the future in a way that benefits the people. I had to laugh at what Abe said. He says that Japan, having gone through reaping in abundance the benefits of free trade and investment, wants to be the champion unfolding open systems alongside Germany. He added, of course, to do so, it will be necessary to have rules that are fair and can stand up to the democratic appraisals. What he's really saying is, of course, that's all good, but I will still do what the Americans tell me to do. Anyway, that's what I thought was... You know, we'll
see. There's an article here from CNN that deals with the free trade. They talk about and the headline is Trump won, free trade zero. G20 drops pledge to fight protectionism. The world's biggest economies have dropped a long-standing public endorsement of free trade. Finance ministers and central bank governors from the G20 group of leading economies, including the U.S., China, Mexico, Germany, and India, held two days of tough talking in the German town of Baden-Baden. And it's interesting to me, they're talking about the world's biggest economies. They aren't talking about the world's biggest nations. They're talking about finance ministers and centralized and central bank governors were at this meeting. It doesn't say anything that we had representatives from governments. There is an implication here that the G20 is at least disproportionately representative of banking and finance rather than nations. It goes on, it says, a formal statement issued after the meeting contained only a bland reference to working to strengthen the contribution of trade to our economies. Conspicuous by its absence was the phrase, quote, we will resist all forms of protectionism, unquote, that was contained in the communique from the last meeting of the group in China in July of 2016. Right? They have gone, do everything to fight protectionism in July of last year, and here we are, I don't know, 9 months later, thereabouts, and they're not even talking about fighting against protectionism. Dropping the commitment to fight protectionism reflects serious disagreements over one of the key principles that has underpinned the global economy for years. World leaders redoubled their commitment to free trade in the wake of the global financial crisis in 2008 as they sought to prevent recession turning into a global depression. But the writing has been on the wall for a while. President Trump has already pulled the U.S. out of one vast trade deal with in the Pacific, promised to renegotiate NAFTA agreement with Canada and Mexico, and threatened to slap tariffs or taxes on imports to protect American jobs. Experts said before the meeting that a failure by the G20 to commit to free trade would signal that Trump is serious about about following through with at least some of those threats. I'd say it also signals that globalism and free trade have, at least for now, lost a huge battle. The New World Order is slipping back toward the nation-state paradigm. Our levels of freedom might increase. So will our levels of danger based on possible international wars. We are in for a certain amount of instability on the global basis. But one of the things, when people talk about free trade, you listen to Japan, we're all in favor of free trade. Japan rose from the ashes of World War II. They rose to become the second greatest economy in the world on the basis of restricted trade. You had to get a note from the Pope to trade product into Japan for most of the post-war World War II effort. Yeah, but what people mean when they say free trade is, why doesn't the United States have free trade and let us sell our products in the United States, and to heck with the American worker and the American manufacturer? Free trade to a significant degree, it's not entirely true, but free trade to a significant degree has meant open borders at the United States, and we're seeing a reaction to that. People are saying no. We've played the fool long enough, and now we're going to start to rebuild our manufacturing, and we're going to give you guys some competition. We'll see how you like it. All right, that's the ultimate idea behind, I would say, behind Trump's notion that he's going to bring jobs back here and manufacturing back here and try to strengthen the economy. It's an uphill battle. He's got his hands full. I don't know that he's going to succeed. But the idea ultimately is we can't open the doors to everyone in every country to sell their products cheaply in this country and put our people out of work.
I mean, Mr. Trump, from what I understand, I mean, he does believe in global trade. But it has to be fair, and that is what he's bringing to the table, is fair. So, again, there's a lot of negotiating going on. There will be a lot of negotiations going on and adjustments. Now, are these countries will – and all these countries, they all know where their bread is buttered. I mean, come on. They all know where – they wouldn't be where they were if it wasn't for the United States. And
the United States making sacrifices to allow people to sell into this country.
Exactly. And the consumers out there buying anything and everything just so they can have it. Uh-huh. So, yeah,
look, it takes two. I got a new doodad.
It took two. So they know where their bread is buttered. So, you know, they're going to have to. If they want to continue to some, they might not be able to get the same advantages as they've had in all these years, but they're going to have to. You know, either they're going to find a new market, or they're just going to have to back down and sit down at the negotiating table with Mr. Trump and deal with it.
Yeah, I understand. It's not just a question of being fair, but it's also a question of being tough, and I think Trump is good for that. I think he's good for tough. We'll see about how it works out for fair. But we have been at a great disadvantage. We have enjoyed it, but we've enjoyed our last 40, 50 years after World War II. We've bought whatever we wanted to buy. We've generally enjoyed a good economy. At least it appeared to be good, but we did it with debt, and more debt. And it means that we have been selling our future to enjoy our present.
But
that
Mr.
was a
Trump,
bad choice, and we're going to pay a price for that before this is done, but maybe we can minimize that price.
But Mr. Trump also has to quit shooting himself in the foot. Because
you know, we all have to do that, Melody. And it's never stopped me. I've learned to absorb the bullets. And
now, I might put foot in mouth, but I don't shoot myself in the foot. So two different things. But yeah, I mean, because all the focus, everything, all the distractions and so forth, and you know, those that are anti-Trump are going to jump on anything that they can, and which I don't understand is why is he giving them the ammunition? Is there a plan behind it?
I don't know. He gives them ammunition. I mean, Obama said a lot of things that were stupid that he got away with. I mean, he was called on it, but they didn't keep on beating him on the head with it.
I get that, but this is different. This really is different.
Well, I agree that Trump has had more resistance being in office than any president I can remember. I mean, he stepped in the door. And I'm surprised that the maitre d' down there didn't poison his salad or something like that. I mean, this is a tough... Has there ever been a president who has been as unwelcome as Trump? In Washington, in the White House, in the Senate, in the House? I mean, he has not been popular with anybody but some of the people. And there is the difference, you know. So we'll see how this goes. But extraordinary times. I don't know. You know, it's quite an adventure to just look out the window and see what's happening. I use the window figuratively, but you know, every day there's something happening. Not much in the line of stability. There's cause for hope. There's cause for concern. There's cause for anxiety. There's cause for just about everything. If you want it, there's cause for it right now.
And you know what? I mean, I do believe when he says that there was surveillance. I don't believe it's to the extreme that he says it was, but I believe there's got to be something there. And I hope he just didn't pull it off the Sean Hannity program or, you know, some TV show and thought it was real news. You know, I do think there's something there in order for him to take it, but he did take it too far. So that just seems to be his problem. And so
Trump is kind of in his own way. He's all business, but he's also emotional. I mean, he seems to be passionate about what he does, but if you can get him to move, he will jump. He isn't just going to slide over and, you know, a little to the right, a little to the left. He will take a leap, and you can get yourself into trouble with that. You can also become recognized as a great man before it's done too. If you can leap mostly in good directions.
But is his narcissism going to, you know? I mean, can you actually control?
No, a lot of this stuff is the grace of God. You know, I mean, there's all kinds of things that any of us can do that we would hope are going to be right and are trying to do right things, but we do stupid things. We all do, and sometimes it works out. Sometimes it makes you look like you're very smart, and
you're not the president of the United States.
Well, not yet, Melody. Maybe next election. Right now, where the people are introducing the commercials that are going to intrude here for a couple of minutes, and Melody and I will be right back on Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk CommonSenseVoicesOfIntegrity.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. What's next, Melody?
We have a simple little special today. We have $2,600. It includes your shipping costs, two coins, two gold coins, a 1 ounce American Gold Eagle, and a Mint State 62 $20 St. Gaudens, priced the same. $1,300 for each. So your Mint State 62 $20 gold piece is priced at $1,300. Your 1 ounce American Gold Eagle is priced at $1,300. I did some comparison shopping online, and that 1 ounce American Gold Eagle is about $5 less than most of the of my competitors online. So a great buy for an American Gold Eagle, and a great, great buy for a Mint State 62 St. Gaudens. Include your shipping cost, $2,600. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And I'm not going to spend 20 minutes on talking about gold, but I do want to break in and just remind the listeners, Al, I talked to in length today. People are getting tired of holding their gold. Because what happened in and it affects the gold prices. What happened in 2008, so many people came into the market expecting the system to collapse at that point in time. It didn't, so they held them for a few more years. They held them for another few more years. Here we are in 2018, 10 years later, and they feel like their gold hasn't done anything for them. They forget the reason. Short memories, they forget the reasons why they buy gold and silver. Plus, you have a multitude of Wall Streeters that basically came into the gold and silver market, promote gold and silver to a point, but then they want you to sell your physical gold and get into paper gold because you'll make hundreds of percents more. Paper gold is not real gold. It doesn't perform. It's not going to protect in the same manner that your physical gold will do for you. I don't know how many emails I got this weekend. Don't buy gold until you read this. Don't buy gold until you read that. You know, and the whole pitch is about gold, but then they put you into paper gold. You buy gold. It's not meant to trade. It protects your purchasing power. And I guess we're not doing a good enough job in relaying that to people.
It's not just that. You're doing a good enough job, but you have people that are, right now, insofar as people become optimistic about the economy, optimism is another word for greedy when it comes to investing. All right? There's an opportunity to say, oh, boy, things are cool, and they think they're making money on the stock markets. And they think they can jump in here, and they want to speculate. They have the mindset of speculators rather than investors. And when they say gold hasn't done anything, they bought it 10 years ago and it hasn't done anything. It's virtually doubled in the last 10 years. All right? Can't say it hasn't done anything. You've got $1,300 worth of money tied up in a gold coin right now that back 10 years ago was $675. Mm-hmm. Right, it's basically doubled in 10 years. That's not a bad situation. All right, that's up 10% a year on average over a period of 10 years, and just ballpark figure. And the rest of that, you can't complain about that. But I think people are becoming, look, there's a chance to make a fast buck. Let's go out and make a fast buck. Well, if that's what they want to do, that's what they can do. But I think they're going to regret that before this is over.
Absolutely.
In the end, the fast bucks are not likely to stay. And what is the fundamental reason to get involved in the fast buck track, you know, commit your investments into the fast buck business, why would you do that right now? What evidence do we have? Trump has been elected. All right, okay, we got that. Now what? What else do we have? We still have an enormous debt. We have an economy that is at least fragile. They make a big deal. They opened it. Ooh, they raised the interest rates 0.25%. You would think, you know, they'd raised interest rates by 10%. I'm exaggerating, but it's not that big a deal except in the context of an economy that's fragile in the first place. I look at this, and particularly when we talked about it earlier in the program, you see article after article after article that's published that's been coming out for the last 2 or 3 weeks from people in the United States, in Europe, Japan, writing about, I think we're getting close to some sort of a correction in the stock market. And some of them are saying the bond market is on the verge of collapse. Now, nobody knows that they're right. I'm not saying that this is prophecy, but there is a lot of opinion pointing in this way, warning, and coming from credible sources. It's sources that at least you should think of as credible. And all that tells me is it's time to hunker down and hang on tight. I don't think this is a moment to be sticking your neck out and saying, oh, Donald Trump got elected. Great, I'm glad Trump is there. But still, what else has happened? And if you can't see that something else, you know, if all of this is just psychological, then you have to understand that you are vulnerable. If you're going to run with the psychology, okay, you can do that. But you have to be prepared. There's going to be a moment when that psychology is going to change because people are going to realize there's no fundamentals supporting this movement. And at which point people are going to say, I think I need to get out of this. And then we will watch the psychology go in the other direction. I mean, there's nothing you can say about this. People are entitled to their own opinions, obviously, and their own investment choices. We all have to be responsible for whatever choices we make. But I think right now people are moving in a direction based more on optimism than reality. And we'll see. Is optimism enough?
What happens, the reason people don't understand why they purchase and why they hold on to it, because not only do they buy it as the situation is occurring, as it did in 2008, 2009, 2010, they buy it, as you mentioned, for the price to rise. It was sold as a rising commodity, as the price was going to go up, up, up without any pullbacks in relationship to any correction in the markets. They want to trade you. Now you have little whisperer, some financial planner whispering, saying, oh, you don't need to have that much gold. All you really need is, you know, instead of holding 40%, you only need 5%. Instead of holding 20%, you only need 3%. Of gold. Why don't you go ahead and sell a bunch of it and, you know, get repositioned? And we just happen to have these penny stocks that, well, gee, you know what? You can make 600%. So, I mean, and the internet has created an opportunity not only to learn and to educate yourself, but it also has allowed people to, you know, convince you and to talk you into things that you shouldn't be doing, or at least you should think about and rationalize about and go back and remember why you really bought gold and silver. It wasn't just for the price to continue to rise. If that's the only reason, you might be disappointed, or you have been disappointed. But I believe gold is going to be going to 3,000, 5,000, and then I stop estimating at 5,000. Because I need to know what's going on at that point in time to make any future predictions. Same thing I did with silver when it was moving up to 50. People said, well, how high do you think silver's going to go? Well, let's see it get to 50 first, and then I'll make my judgment call. I didn't think it was going to go any higher because I thought the last 10 bucks of the silver rise was based on paper trading. You know, I can see it in the changes. I mean, I've been doing this a long time. I know what gold is. Yeah, you can't predict it on a day-to-day basis, but there have been signs. Just like I, you know, people were adjusting their, you know, positions prior to the rate increase. That's how I knew silver. That's why I said gold was going to go down. We'll see a little bit of pressure on gold on the rate increase and on the jobs jobs report, and after that you're going to see gold turn around and move back up. That's exactly what it's doing. You know, you have meetings, Bilderberger meetings, you have G20 meetings and things like that. Yeah, you'll see pressure on gold. You know, because everybody positions themselves prior to these meetings based on the information that's going to come out of them. You know, so yeah, you're going to see pressure on it. And then afterward, and then everybody gets upset, but then afterwards, you always see it go, you know, go back up and, you know, resume its position at, you know, for whatever is going on at that point in time. So it's not, you know, doing it for 23 years, you see the cycles. You don't need charts. You know, charts are good to make a point. But to predict,
good to argue a point, but the idea behind charts is that the numbers are legitimate in the first place, and that's one of the problems we face. If the numbers aren't legit, what's the value of the charts?
Yeah, I mean, the markets are rigged. So, you know, so anyway, again, here we are. 10 minutes,
you know,
but I think it was very important that we talked about this.
Well, there's another point to it, too. If it's true, where I was suggesting that what I think is happening is their optimism is shifting into greed, and some of them are saying, I can make a fast buck, let's speculate, let's get on the stocks and rest, that sort of thing. Let's suppose that's true. That's my speculation. I think that might explain the phenomena we're talking about. If it were true, it's evidence that people are selling gold to get into the stock market. Now, maybe that's true, maybe it's not. But assuming it was true, what would it signal? It would signal that in the contrarian philosophy, if you want to make a buck, you buy low and you sell high, which means you buy when no one else wants the product and you sell when everybody is screaming for it. If people are moving out of gold to go into the stock market, if that's true, don't know that it is, but if that's true and it's a significant phenomena, that might be a signal that we are near the high on the stock market. Everybody is going into the stock market. Now, is that true? Is that it's certainly speculation. Maybe how true is that? But point is, it would conform to the idea that we are coming to a moment of a sell-off. When all the great unwashed go into one thing, I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's stock market, bonds, or gold. When they're all doing the same thing, something is wrong. All right? We are about to see a major correction because the majority, when it comes to investing, the majority is virtually always wrong. It's not like democracy where we get a vote and we can make things happen in a particular way. You can kind of do that for a while, but eventually reality intrudes. And evidence maybe that we're getting rid of our market is that correction is close at hand, and the fact that money's going out of the gold market and going into stocks or the speculation, that's true. That would be support.
Look at the debt ceiling. There was a blip. There was a blip. Why? Why do we have all these other distractions? Because they can't talk about it. Because that's how weak the system is, in my opinion. They can't even address the situation for fear that the stock market is going to crash. I mean, they will do everything to keep the markets high. But one day, folks, they do have to address the debt ceiling.
Somebody's got to deal with reality. Sooner or later, reality is going to intrude.
And that's exactly what this article I was talking about. It's exactly what I was talking about with this article that I was reading about a new system. It has to be recreated. And it's going to be painful.
Because why does it have to be painful?
Answer your own question, Al.
Because if a new system has to be created, it follows that the old system has to die.
Yes.
All right? We're not going to recreate. We are not going to come forward and say, well, I've got a brilliant idea and we should do it this way. And everybody said, yeah, let's get rid of our existing system and we'll do it the way you say. It's not going to happen. No one is going to lead us to the next system. There will be plenty of people who will advocate the next system. I get that. But we're not going to follow him there or her. We're not going to follow that leader until the existing system collapses. And when it does, there is going to be more than enough pain to go around. People are going to be aggravated, annoyed, ruined, depressed, suicidal. Hard to say how bad this is going to go. But then, in the midst of that chaos, we will be ready to take a shot at an alternative system, and maybe we'll guess right and we'll get a good alternative system, or maybe we will be misled and foolish and we'll get a bad alternative system. But I don't believe we're going to get a new system won't be created until the old one dies.
I agree. And I don't believe that's very far away. But they have led us this far, this long, and that's why you buy gold and silver. It's because we don't know. You buy it for when it does happen, just like the insurance policy. That's why you buy gold, just like the insurance policy in home, for your home. You don't expect a fire tomorrow and buy your fire insurance the day before. You know, you have that fire insurance.
But even if you do die, buy it the day before, good on you. But if you don't try to buy it the day after.
This is true.
Too late. Too late. Look, here's a picture of my house. It's a charred ruin, and I'd like to get an insurance policy on it. No, I don't think you're going to be able to do that.
No. So, again, folks, this, keep in mind the true story, why the truth of why you buy gold and silver. And it has become just distorted.
Yeah, it's distorted. It's not generally appreciated. But the real reason, from my perspective, that you buy gold is because you believe that the existing monetary system is going to fold up.
You buy gold because we have a fiat currency, and regardless of what happens when that current system explodes, you buy it because every day you continue to lose your purchasing power against inflation. Prices continue to rise. You don't have to call it inflation. You can call it whatever you want. But prices are going higher, and your purchasing power is being lost. Has anybody looked to see what rates are being paid at banks? So if you happen to have any cash, if you decide to put any cash anywhere, what are you getting? You're just happy that it's there, hoping it stays there. But you're losing purchasing power, and you will until something is addressed. The monetary system is replaced. You will continue to lose purchasing power, and that is why you buy gold and why you buy silver. You know, everything else happens because of the fiat currency, the fiat system. That's why you buy gold and silver. So whether we have a direct consequence of the monetary system failing tomorrow, or the stock market pulling back 50% like it did in 08 and 09 and 10, there's a lot of reasons why you buy gold and silver, but the main one is you're losing your purchasing power every day.
Well, we're going to take a break for a couple of commercials, and we will be back in a moment on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
Won't you take me back to school? I need to learn the golden rule. Won't you lay it on the line? I need to hear it just one more time. Oh, won't you tell me again?
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. Here's a little change of pace. This is an article from the International Business Times, and the headline is, you know, we complain about digital. We tell you, look, there's no secrecy in the digital world. There's not much real stability. And here's the headline is, over 20 million Gmail and 5 million Yahoo decrypted accounts now reportedly for sale on the dark web. Somebody has hacked into Google Mail, Gmail, and somebody's hacked into Yahoo, and they've stole 20 million accounts from Gmail, and they stole 5 million from Yahoo, and these are now all for sale on the dark web. All right? Now, that's interesting. All right, so this is scary. Well, actually, it's not. It's really surprising. It says a dark web vendor is reportedly selling millions of decrypted Gmail and Yahoo accounts in an unspecified underground marketplace. Over 20 million Gmail accounts and 5 million Yahoo accounts from previous massive data breaches are now reportedly up for sale. A dark web vendor going by the name of Sun Tzu 583. Was previously also allegedly listed over 1 million decrypted Gmail and Yahoo accounts on the dark web, now appears to have ramped up his efforts. According to a HackRead report, the cyber criminal Sun Tzu 583 is allegedly offering 4,928,888 Yahoo and 21,800,000 Gmail accounts, of which the latter, the Gmail accounts, 21 million, almost 22 million, has been listed for $450. That translates into about 0.002 of a cent per record. What is the point of stealing stuff if you can only get 0.002 of a cent for it? Right? This is evidence that something bizarre is happening right now. It goes on, it says the cyber criminal is also allegedly selling 5,741,000 Yahoo accounts for $250. That works out to about 0.004 of a cent per record. You know, we've heard these stories about the hackers. They get it, oh, they're stealing this, that, and the other. They're stealing all of these records. Yeah, what are you going to do with them? You got 5 million, got 20 million. All right, you get your name in Guinness for the guy who stole the most records from Yahoo. Maybe that's what you get. But what is it worth? If he can sell all 26,000 of these records, or 26 million of these records, at the price he's asking, he can get about $700 for the lot. What is he risking for this? I don't know how many years he faces if he goes off to prison. I have no idea. I don't know how it works out, but he's not going away for 6 months.
They can't catch you on the
dark web. Well, maybe they can, maybe they can't, but regardless of that, you're taking an extraordinary risk, and there is apparently not much interest in buying your stolen goods. Apparently, Melody, as hard as it is for me to imagine this, nobody really wants to read all my email. All right? And they certainly don't want to pay to read my email. There's no point to it. Nobody wants to read your email or my or anyone else's. Most of it is actually pretty dull. So there's something's going to happen here where there are hackers that are out there and stealing accounts from Target. We saw that a year ago or thereabouts. And I don't know, Walmart maybe. I don't remember who all has had their data accounts hiked or heist robbed. But what's the point to it? And this is going to dawn on the hackers, and they're going to say, this is not a good thing. This is no way to make a living stealing tens of millions of Gmail accounts. There's no money in this.
Well, Al, I don't think it's all about money. I know you can't grasp that, but I think it's all about, I would think for a computer person, it's all about the challenge.
I understand
it's
that.
It's all about the challenge.
Comical. It's like taking candy from babies. It's a big deal.
I would think that if you have to hack into these, it would be a pretty tough challenge. And, you know, it's...
Yeah, but how tough can
nerds.
It be?
No, Al,
then you'd think somebody would say, okay, I'll give you 1,000. I'll give you 5. I'll give you 50,000. I'll give you 50,000 so I can avoid the problem
no disrespect,
of hacking.
Yeah,
it's
no
a couple hundred dollars.
No disrespect to nerds. But, I mean, it is the challenge of hacking into something. It is the challenge, even if you mention this small price, it is all about the recognition. It isn't the money.
Nobody recognizes
this
exactly.
This guy could be a billionaire. This guy could already be a billionaire. No.
Yeah, he could be living in a 200-square-foot room, too.
Yeah, but I mean,
Sun Tzu 583 is probably not a wealthy guy.
The point
if he is, he's not going to stay wealthy. You can't get wealthy Jason Nicholson times.
Well, the point is there is no privacy. And I don't know why anybody would want to buy your gold and silver online to save 5 cents a coin. I mean, you lose all privacy, and that's why I'd say that's why 90% of my clients buy gold and silver is part in privacy. You know, you want privacy. So why would you buy it online? I mean, it doesn't make sense.
You could do a billboard. You could say, I would like to buy some gold coins. My name is Alfred Addisk, and I'll put it on a billboard out on Highway 75. And if you have any you'd like to sell, meet me right here below the billboard. I'll bring my cash. I'll bring $20,000 to buy gold coins, and I'll be right at the base of this on this billboard on May 1st, Melody. Or should I do it on April 1st?
Oh.
In any case.
Thank you for reminding me.
Yes, I know. I realized as soon as I said it.
Thank you.
You didn't have an instant response. I thought, oh, my God, she'd forgotten. She's forgotten April Fool's Day. And I brought it to her attention.
I did.
I deserve some sort of mercy based on that melody. You should put off, except the problem you have is this year, April 1st is on a Saturday, and we don't have a radio program then. Isn't that right?
It's my problem. It's yours.
No, it's your problem.
Because now you got multiple days.
Yeah.
When we were kids, Al, we used to do something that was, you know, usually after the fact, and it's for April Fools for next year. So, yeah, whatever.
Uh-huh.
So, what's next?
I don't know. Let me see what we've got here. There must be something else. There's Trump. We already talked about that. Here's Venezuelans rely on Bitcoin to survive, disregard fiat completely. Now, this is an article coming from Cointelegraph, and that's the publication that advocates Bitcoin. But part of the interest in this article, first, Venezuelans are in deep economic trouble, right? They're having trouble just feeding themselves. And the government is trying to issue its bolivars or whatever they use for currency down there, and it's not working out very well, and the economy is floundering, but the people have moved to Bitcoin, which the government can't regulate. Why? Well, partly what they make clear in the article is because the gold, the inflow and outflow of gold can be controlled at the borders. All right, and you can't get out of Venezuela with your gold. You can't bring gold into Venezuela easily. And therefore, by the Bitcoin moves across these borders without government awareness, without government being able to stop it, slow it down. I mean, there's something happening here. At least so far, they haven't been able to contain the Bitcoin situation. And people are moving to Bitcoin. Now, I'm not here to advocate Bitcoin per se. In fact, I think all things, if it's paper or it's digital, it's just a promise to pay. It's not a real payment. I don't regard that as a sensible way to save your money. But it's happening in Venezuela. Save your wealth is what I really meant. I don't regard anything digital or paper as a reliable means of saving your wealth. But what I'm beginning to understand looking at this is that Venezuela, the government of Venezuela, if it can't control its own currency, and if it's subject to something like Bitcoin, people are moving to it, what is a government that can't control its own currency. I'm not sure that it is a government. In fact, and when you look at it from that perspective, it begins to appear that governments, I begin to wonder, are our governments really governments in the sense that we imagine that they send out the police or the military or they do good deeds or whatever? Are they really governments or are they banking systems? Is Donald Trump, is he the president of the mighty United States or is he the president of a peculiar banking system that issues fiat dollars? It's a way of looking at things that strikes me as interesting. And the thing in Venezuela, people were outraged. The government canceled the value of 100 Bolivar notes, and they were outraged, and people started burning cash to demonstrate. The point I'm getting to is Venezuela is losing control of its monetary system. It's going to blow up on this thing that for the moment they're going to Bitcoin, but in the end, I see this as Bitcoin is actually helping gold. People, they make clear in the article that they would prefer to use gold. They've got problems moving it across the border. So Bitcoin is more convenient, at least for the moment, but both gold and Bitcoin are reacting to a failing Venezuelan de facto currency. Their fiat bolivars are going down the pipe. And what happens when nobody wants those bolivars
anymore? Well, I'll tell you what, I don't know when that was dated. Well, it was probably before today. But I don't understand when you have such a poor country like Venezuela, and they still do have $7 to $10 billion worth of gold that they haven't used to pay their debt. They've been using their gold to pay their debt. But over the weekend, Bitcoin shed about a fifth of its value. I mean, it went from $1,259.
That's part of the reason why I'd stay away from it.
And that was all based on the possible creation of an ETF. You know, so people were going in if they were to be an exciting idea that would attract new money to the currency. But in a poor country, why would you risk something
because
that has
such...
Because
you have no choice. Because you have no choice. That's why you take that risk.
You take it because
you know that the bolivar is no longer reliable. The de facto fiat currency is no longer reliable.
It fluctuates to the degree that when you lose a fifth of your value just over the weekend.
I agree.
I don't think, you know, I'm just not sure that it is used as much as what the
even if it
implies.
Lost a fifth of its value, it's better than the hyperinflation they have down in it's probably better than the hyperinflation that I believe is taking place in Venezuela at this time. They're going to lose even more with the bolivars. And the moment is going to come when they look at Bitcoin, they're going
to
go into it. It's going to change value dramatically at one point or another. Somebody's going to rob them. You can just about bet on it. And at that point in time, they're going to say, you know, I think maybe we should get some gold. We should get something tangible that can't be made to disappear over the internet and made to disappear like a digital illusion. Let's get something
poor
tangible.
Poor guy who traded that on Friday. But it's like any paper investment. But, you know, the poor guy who took it on Friday lost his shirt on Monday.
Yeah, that's true.
Fifth of the value. Mm-hmm. It's amazing.
Yeah. You know, I mean, the world is increasingly
because it's not real.
Like
that's
that.
The whole point of Bitcoin, it's not real.
I get that.
It's just like banks that make, you know, that print money out of thin air.
I get
it's
that.
It's the same thing.
That's my argument. That's why I would say, but still, I'm looking at Bitcoin as similar to the gold in that both of them are hedges against the collapse of the current currency. That's
see,
what they're really about. Their reactions to whether it's fiat dollars or fiat bolivars or fiat euros or whatever, that's what they're reacting to.
I don't think you can hedge yourself against the collapse with something that's not real. You might think you are.
Yeah, I know.
But in reality, you are not. You just have something that's not real. It's not any different than half the paper that you own. It's not real.
Well, so I agree.
Banks don't have those assets. It's not real.
And I think that'll come to the fore here. But for the moment, we're going to see something with Bitcoin. It's another one of these speculations that people can jump into if they want to. But in my estimation, one of the other points about this, I think we're going to see a kind of revolution take place in Venezuela right now, a monetary revolution. We're going to see how much can this Bitcoin do? How badly can the bolivar, how badly can it fail? it'll be watched by governments around the world, and some of them are going to say, you know, we got to do something about this Bitcoin. This is posing a legitimate threat to our own. The Bitcoin as a fiat currency is posing a legitimate threat to our fiat currency. We've got to do something to stop it. I think Bitcoin has enjoyed a great deal of success in the last year or two, and I think governments are paying attention, and I'm going to anticipate that they are going to do what they can to control this in the very near future.
I think the only reason it's been successful is because of the dark web. It's used a lot in the dark web, and I think that's what promotes it. We did get I don't know if we have time to read this email real quick. It was about the beginning. It was in the beginning of the program about Trump is digging a deeper and deeper hole with the whole Obama bug me thing. If he can't put up, he should shut up before he looks even more silly.
Yeah,
so.
Probably true.
But,
you know, it's like they say, better to keep your mouth shut and be thought an idiot than open it and remove all.
He proved.
Yeah. So we are out of time, and want to thank all of you for listening. Melody and I will be back tomorrow. In the meantime, the good Lord, we've got 15 seconds. I have to kind of drag this out a little bit, Melody. May the good Lord bless you and me and Melody and Todd, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay.
Ain't it sad?
And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.